It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you a lot for joining us today. You know, I was bow hunting earlier this week up in Palo Pinto County, up at the Dale River Ranch. And I'll tell you what, I found the first buck scrape that I found this year. I'm not seeing a lot of scrapes. This was the first one, and my buddy Randy Douglas that manages the hunts up there, the ranch, the Dale River Ranch, he said that's the first one that he'd seen. But we found a little licking branch up above it, a little bent-over oak limb, and sure enough, the bucks are in the early, early stages. I talked to Dr. McFarland down in Anderson County, and Doc told me that on the Big Woods, that's a ranch that he owns down there, 7,500 acres, said the bucks are going strong. The rut is on, but it always starts a little bit early for some reason down in that area on the Trinity River. Folks, you might remember a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I had Mr. Dub Wallace on with me. Dub is my buddy, been my friend a long time. Dub is almost 80 years old, 80 years young, I should say. And, you know, Dub was raised down on the Mexico border, down around Camp Wood and Lakey, down in that country, beautiful country. But he grew up in an era down there that, honestly, is the country's still beautiful, but times have changed down there. We were talking about the old times when I had Dub with me. And we want to talk some more, talk about how it was back in the 40s when Dub was a youngster growing up down there. Dub, thank you for being with us, buddy.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, folks, Dub and I just got out of the woods here yesterday. We were down looking at some hog stands and hog traps, and Dub, you kept right up with me. I tell you what, if everybody could follow your footsteps at age almost 80, right?
It'll be 80 pretty quick, baby.
Well, I tell you what, now you can keep up and go, and you know, you got your pace there, and you hit that pace, you can go all day.
Yeah, well, that's called running them goats over them mountains, you know.
when you were a boy. And for the Dub, the folks that didn't hear you before, you did, your dad was a trapper, and,
oh, yeah.
And you grew up on goat and sheep ranches down around Campwood, right?
That's right.
And the neat part is, I've talked to you many, many times. You've told me lots of interesting stories. But one thing was the way you traveled back then and when you were a boy. Say y'all were, what would be the furthest trip that you'd make? You had some kind of an old Dodge truck pickup, didn't you?
I had a 36 Dodge pickup. Yeah, I mean, up class dude.
Well, but, now, when you travel back in those days, that was far different than it is today, wasn't it, Dub?
Oh, man, yeah. it was. Really. We even going to Uvalde, which is 40 miles, that was an all-day deal, and you took your camp outfit if you wanted to, and stopped at one of them rivers and had lunch and whatever. You know, it was an all day deal.
So Uvalde, 40 miles, that was a pretty long trip. Would you make that in one day back in those days?
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. We'd make that. Now we make some longer ones in that old pickup. To see my grandparents in New Mexico and Arizona.
That's where you camped out. Tell us about, you know, there was no Howard Johnsons or anything on the side of the road to whip. Tell us when it was time to stop driving for the day back there, how you did it.
Well, we had a camp outfit. Daddy had a built up camper, so to speak, on the back of that pickup. Had a, what we call wagon sheet then. I think they call them tarpaulins now. I don't know. It's canvas, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we had our chub box. We had our water barrel. Whenever nighttime or quitting time come, we found a wide place in the road and camped right there. You know, never thought anything about it. You know, it didn't go because you didn't have anything for anybody to rob.
And tell about your mother when it comes time. Well, you'd have to eat something. What would be a typical way of eating there in the evening, Stub?
Oh, around the campfire. We'd build a fire. Uh-huh. And, we had the regular camping outfit. They had the old iron skillet. She'd fry some meat, make a little gravy, and soak some biscuits in that Dutch oven, and that is it.
And I dare say those biscuits didn't come out of any pre-mixed deal, did they, Doug?
No, they sure didn't. They were good, though.
Yes, sir. Let's shift gears a little, Dub. I mean, I've had the privilege of hearing these stories around a campfire with Dub Wallace here for years. But back to when you was a boy and the trapping that you did with your dad. You know, you've told me you'd get out of school on holidays for a couple of weeks in the winter to help you to have your own little trap line. You've talked about, I'd ask you what you ate, but they would have your dad had a camp set up out there in the hills. And
oh, yeah.
That is some of the most beautiful country in the state of Texas, down around Camp Wood, down in there. I've never been to a prettier place. Water everywhere, and you grew up there. Now, you've told me about y'all have a big cast iron pot, and you just keep adding to it. That was your kind of run that menu down, Dub.
Deer meat, 99% of the time deer meat. Sometimes you'd have some turkey, but we'd have deer meat once in a while, a wild hog, but not very seldom. And because the hogs were so bad on the kids and lamb crop, they didn't let them hogs live long. They put you out of business. But the main menu would be Dutch oven biscuits and deer meat and a pot of beans.
Yeah, yeah. You've told me, when you're actually hunting and all, like y'all were doing trapping and hunting too for something to eat. You've got you would just add to that pot, kind of like wouldn't you? You know, put some more vegetables, keep it on the fire all the time.
Oh, keep it warm. If it's going to be gone, mm-hmm. they'd let it cool off, but that tallow would seal it over, and it is safe. I mean, it wouldn't spoil. Yeah, but if you talk about hunting, we hunted all the time. Anytime he was in the woods, he was hunting for something to eat. If you saw something, fine. If you didn't find, but you always carried a gun in case something happened. Bye. Well, you could take it back to the pot.
It was, and then you'd just go ahead and you'd keep that food at a safe temperature by raking coals over the top of it when you were gone. And then you'd add some more, potatoes or whatever, or throw another piece of venison or a turkey or whatever.
You probably cook that venison a little bit before you throw it in there, because your stuff that is in there is already cooked.
Uh-huh.
And that way keep it on a happy medium. Luke didn't have no way to keep it. You either had to cook it or and eat it or what,
Or keep it like y'all did, keep it warm, right? I mean,
Yeah, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about tallow.
I do. I don't know if all of our listeners do, but it's...
The tallow is the fat off of goats.
Mm-hmm.
Deer don't never have much, but
no,
they kept that tallow. That was a sealer,
Mm-hmm.
You could put meat, and if it's covered, whenever that fella solidified, it was airtight then.
Would seal it off. And it is just a layer of fat. When it gets cool, it gets solid, and it'll seal the top of your whatever you've got cooked. Seal that off. And your dad would spend months there at this trapper's camp, and then you said that you were almost a wild young man back in those days.
Ooh, man. Wilder than a billy goat, boy, I tell you. I didn't want to see no people.
No. You, in other words, when the big grown-ups come around, young Dub was hitting the brush. You didn't want to socialize with them, did you?
No, and didn't come back till after they left.
Dub, we've got time.
I'd be where I can see the house, you know, to see if it's up there. Whoever had rode by, people would ride by.
Yeah.
You know, going from one ranch to the other or whatever. And, of course, they always then. When you come by somebody's house, you always eat or drink coffee and always had coffee.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
24 hours a day.
Well, I'd have fit right in back in those days as much as
I love. Yeah, you would have. But you had to stop and howdy. There was nobody in no hurry. You didn't know where to go, you know.
Right. But when you traveling through the country on horseback or a mule, like you say, you'd stop by these camps or ranches, wherever, and spend a little time, and you was welcome wherever you was at, but you've told me that you'd always, if you use something, you'd replace it, and, you know, the people would come back and found it.
Whether they were there or not, even if they weren't home, Luke, you went in, and if it was mealtime, or you fixed your meal, but the water rule, you always left the wood box full. We're talking about wood box, folks. We're talking about that's where we kept our stove wood in the house there, where it'd be dry. You cleaned up everything and filled the wood box full and the water bucket. You know, you always had care of water. Never ever had running water. You know.
You had lots of water running in those rivers and creeks down there, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. You had big old springs, Luke. Oh, man. Some springs. Full of water coming out, big as a barrel, running up the side of them hills, and cold as ice, man. So,
and that's in the summertime too.
It was our year round. You know, it was that cold. In fact, when we were fortunate enough to have a cow, well, mother would keep the milk in one of those springs, and boy, it'd make that cream rise.
People
not going to know nowadays what we're talking about, Luke, about cream rising, but that's part of it.
Man. Well, Dub, the last time you were on with us just visiting around the campfire, I had a ton of people that heard you, and I'm sure a lot of them were older people. Some of them weren't, though, that had never even imagined the lifestyle that you live back there. And, you know, I was born in 1950, and I grew up in the woods up in Red River County. But, you know, in 1950, things were changing. I mean, we got electricity when I was 5 years old. Things always happen a little slower up there north of Clarksville in the Dimple community where I was raised. But we got a telephone when I was 12. That was in 62. So that'll tell you, but you were there in an era way before then. Dub, we're out of time. I sure want to thank you for being with us. And I want to get you back next time, and let's talk about some of those old caliber rifles that you know a lot about, and you've got a bunch of them. Could we do that?
You bet. We can do it. We sure can. I dunked for a while.
I know it. Well, thank you, Dub. I appreciate you being with us.
You bet, you, Luke.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And also made possible by Hoffpire Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. The website down there is hpolaris.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.